Oh my goodness, look at him.
Oh, what's going on?
In the flesh, you handsome devil.
Where are you at? I'm not seeing you.
The recorder that I have, I think if I do video, it records a video file instead, and then the file becomes enormous.
So I don't even get to see you during this?
So you don't even get to see me. You only get to hear my beautiful voice.
Come on, I thought this was going to be the most professional thing ever. Amateur, I don't even get to see you.
Well, you joke, but I've been trying to call you for 10 minutes, and I think I was calling the wrong guy. So it's like a small miracle that I've gotten this far already.
Oh, okay. Well, let me turn my video off then. I'm not going to stare at myself.
You're listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, your daily podcast on the Denver Nuggets. Now, here is your host from DenverStiffs.com, Adam Mottis.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I am your host, Adam Mottis, from DenverStiffs.com, the largest Denver Nuggets blog and community on the web. Check us out. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I am joined today by a very special guest, one of my buddies in the blogosphere, and arguably, although we don't know, arguably the only person in basketball Twitter that can take me one-on-one in the game of basketball. It's Brian Freeman.
What's going on, Adam?
Was that a good intro? I'm giving you a little bit of I'm leaving the door open, but I'm giving you some credit.
That's more than you've given me the last couple of times. Usually you call me number two straight from the get-go, so arguably number one is a compliment I'll take.
Yeah, for sure. No, Brian played professionally for many years in Europe. He's also, what are you, 6'9"?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's a tall fella, athletic fella, and all around really, really good follow. We'll forgive him for being a Blazers fan, but really, really good guy. His Twitter handle will be in the description of the show. And the theme of this show is actually very Portland-oriented. We're going to look at Portland as a team competing for Denver in the playoff race out west. So we're going to get Brian's thoughts on, you know, that dynamic between Denver and Portland and all of that. Who's going to get in? Who's going to get left out? But we're going to start by why the Blazers are going to miss the playoffs, the fun part for Nuggets fans. And Brian, I'll just ask you right off the top, what would you say is the biggest weakness you see for this Portland team coming into the season?
I think it all starts with that New Orleans Pelicans from last year, and having a third player who can score the ball consistently.
Yeah,
if you shut down Lillard and McCollum, then you've shut down the Blazers' offense completely.
So Nuggets fans know this from the Carmelo era, the like one and done era. You get to the playoffs and lose, but Blazers have been good in the Damian Lillard era. But it almost feels like last year was one of those years where a sweep. It almost feels like there's a plateau coming. Is there a little bit of a loss of enthusiasm, or do you think that was just a bad matchup?
I think it was a little loss of enthusiasm. And that the regular season was terrific. I mean, that 14-game win streak was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But you kind of felt like that entire regular season that this was as good as things could have gotten. I mean, yeah. Damian Lillard took a huge strides last year that, you know, we thought he probably was hit his max before last year, and then last year, of course, he took another step, first team All NBA. But you did feel like that was a lot of best case scenario from last year.
What made him better? Because you know, obviously, I didn't watch him as much, but the assist numbers, not even the highest of his career, a little bit of a jump. But what was it that was so good about last year's season for him?
I think just pretty much his ability to just absolutely take over a game.
Yeah.
You know, he deferred a lot early in games, but he was able to get to the rim. His free throw numbers were, I don't have them in front of me, but were a huge jump in his game, being able to get to the line, being able to get to the rim. You know, he's always been a three-point shooter, of course, but
he
expanded his game quite a bit. And obviously the accolades kind of speak for themselves.
Yeah, he's a stud for sure. They're, you know, he's always been so vocal about the city of Portland and the team and this and that. But I've, from an outsider perspective, it felt a little bit like last year, not a tipping point, but where he finally kind of looked at the organization and said, hey man, what are you going to do for me? What's going on here? Do you get that sense at all that he's not fed up with the organization, but that he's going to start trying to press them a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I feel like especially a team like the Blazers, we haven't had a ton of superstars come through, first team All NBA, legit superstars. So when you get one, when Portland gets one, they should be, you know, doing what they can to make his experience here as successful as possible. And, you know, not their draft pick choices, but you're picking, you know, You're picking up rookies that probably aren't helping this year. You're not trading those picks for better players. We let the Allen Crabbe trade exception pass without anything going through. You know, there are ways to upgrade this roster, and I think the management just kind of took the approach of, well, we'll just kind of let things pass, maybe let these bad contracts run out and see what happens. And by doing that, you're pretty much wasting the prime years of one of the best we're having in history. And I personally think that's extremely unfair.
The Blazers are the perfect example of that. You know, you need so many miracles in the NBA to make a good team, and Damian Lillard is kind of a miracle. You know, he wasn't a number one overall pick or anything like that, but he's that type of producer. But you throw out one or two bad contracts, and it costs you years.
Try four.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's a handful of just really, really strange. I remember my buddy Dan Marang, who I think you know as well, was 2-3 years ago, was just talking about Olshea and how many bad things are on there. I remember thinking, man, Portland's set up. But no, he was right. Those chickens have kind of come home to roost with some of those deals. Is there a strength on this roster from last season that you think will not be a strength this season?
Offensive rebounding is probably the biggest one. You know, last year, our second unit of Ed Davis and Zach Collins were able to, you know, really control games on the offensive glass. And losing Ed Davis, you know, one of the vocal leaders, but mainly one of your defensive stalwarts. And, you know, I think he was one of the top offensive rebounders in the league, definitely number one top offensive rebounder coming off the bench. And so just to completely lose that and not replace him with anybody, you know, that's going to be a huge advantage that they no longer have.
It is interesting because I don't think this is intuitive to people that don't follow this stuff, but Portland was 15th in offensive rating last year, and they were they were better defensively, 8th in defensive rating, at least according to Basketball Reference. They're a better defensive team than offense, and I don't think most people would just guess that outright. But to that point about the offensive rating, you know, they were a great offensive rebounding team in a middle of their own offense. I wonder if that does mean that their offense might struggle a little bit more than last year, just because some of those points will be gone.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the effect Ed Davis had on multiple games was huge. You know, he'd have some games that, you know, his numbers wouldn't be gaudy, but he was a very good defensive player, and he was a monster down low. Whether he was getting boards or tipping them out, I mean, he caused a lot of problems.
Yeah.
So interesting, you know, you have Nurkic at center, of course, starting, but Collins is kind of a center. He's like a 4-5, and then the only other really big center you have on the roster is Myers Leonard.
My favorite center in the NBA.
I mean, we don't need that much, but it's, you know, there's definitely going to be a change in the rotation and the style of play because they're just not going to be as big as they were last year.
Is there a player you think is in line for a regression? Not just like, you know, marginally worse, but that might really take a step back next year?
No, I don't actually see anybody having a step back. Mm-hmm. I think the bigger worry is not many people taking steps forward. I think most people on that team have kind of flatlined. And nobody's, you know, there's not a whole lot of youth on the roster, but there's also not really anybody in their, you know, even their mid-30s or anything like that. So I don't expect a ton of regression from anybody personnel-wise, but there's also not any young up-and-comers that are going to make a huge jump either.
Yeah. How many players on the roster, if they miss 30 games, do you think Portland would just cross them off the list for the playoffs?
Sorry, say that one more time.
How many players on the roster do you think if they were to miss 30 games next season, you can just – the Portland will not make the playoffs?
Oh, Dame and CJ. I think just those two.
Yeah. Everybody else you can kind of fill in around if an injury happens.
Nurkic 30 games. Yeah, I'll say Nurkic too.
Okay. He's right there. And who knows? Second, I mean, Zach, I like Zach Collins. I'm a Zach Collins defender. I know he's way different than Nurkic, but maybe he makes a leap this year. He's a guy that I could see that happening.
With Zach Collins, I think you just kind of have to know what you get. Yeah. So if you're expecting him to average 14 or more points a game next season, you're probably not going to get that. He's going to be a really good defensive player. He's going to be a good rebounder. You know, he's going to do simple things, knock down some open shots every once in a while. But if you're expecting him to average 16 and 10 next year, that's kind of more the fall of a person who's making that, you know, expectation than it is of him. Cause that's kind of who he is. He's not a scorer. He's a tough kid. He's a rebounder. He's got good length. And he's a really good defensive player.
Is there a player? I mean, do you think Portland might make a trade? What are the odds they make a trade, and who would be a player that you think might pop up on the trade block this season?
I mean, obviously my favorite topic of the moment is Jimmy Butler, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Actually, my biggest worry is that Portland's going to gonna struggle coming out of the gate a little bit, and they're about $7 million being under the cap, and Al-Farouq Aminu's on an expiring deal, and his cap hold's about $7 million. Mm. So my biggest worry is that he becomes a casualty if Portland struggles early.
He's good too, and I think he's good for Portland. I mean, he adds that extra dynamic. Great, I mean, really, really strong defender against most players at the four.
Oh, absolutely. He's probably the most underrated guy on this roster for how much he does. He's a huge glue guy. He's exactly the kind of person that Portland needs. But I'm worried about their future, especially if they get off to a really bad start, or if Dame gets injured or something like that, even a small couple weeks thing.
Yeah. All right, well, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some more positive stuff for the Blazers and some of the upside stuff with them. We'll be right back. All right, I'm here with Brian Freeman of Blazers Edge, and we're talking about the Portland Trail Blazers and their sort of road to the playoffs this year, how they look. And, you know, just off the top, what were some of the players that were added, some key additions and subtractions to the roster? Obviously, Ed Davis we talked about a little bit, but what are some other pieces that are new or out the door?
So they lost Shabazz Napier, Ed Davis. Those are kind of the two of the big ones. And then you have guys like Pat Connaughton that won't be around.
Yeah.
But you bring in Seth Curry. He's kind of their pickup.
That's right. Yeah.
Who's a very interesting pickup. You know, you like the guy. He has good distribution numbers. Obviously guy can shoot the ball. ACL injuries, of course, scary. And it's a 1+1, I believe. And so, if he does really well, then he's not sticking around long term. And if he doesn't do well, then he's probably going to be back next year.
Yeah.
So that's kind of that's the best case we have as far as hope goes, that Seth Curry is able to take a step after an ACL year.
What about Wade Baldwin? I know he was there, but he had a pretty good summer, didn't he?
I like Wade Baldwin. Yeah, he had a really good summer. It's if he's able to do a quarter of what he did during the summer league during NBA play, he's going to be a really nice piece. He was actually really good at the end of last year. He was one of those people that kind of, as the season ticked on, because he didn't play until three quarters of the season was over.
Right.
And he came in. He's long. He's a good athlete. He's strong. He's a tough guy. Both of his parents are like FBI agents or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Seriously, yeah. But you can just kind of see that in him. He's got a little bit of grit to him.
What about
he shoots the ball well at summer league, which is kind of his defining deal. If he can shoot the ball well, he's going to be able to get some minutes in there.
What about Stauskas? you didn't mention him.
Yeah, I don't really know what to think about Stauskas.
Yeah,
you know, he was a day one veteran minimum signee. Yeah. Day one free agency. Blazers have a lot of guards in their roster right now. You know, we've named a couple of them already. So it's going to be I'm curious to see how often they go with a three guard lineups. I mean, last year their best three man lineup was when Dame, CJ, and Shabazz Napier were all on the floor together. So it'll be interesting to see if they do a lot of, you know, Dame, CJ, Steph, Dame, CJ, Stauskas, you know, or, you know.
Yeah. I think that'd be fun. I like three guard lineups. This is the year for three guard lineups. Denver's obviously going all in on three guard lineups. That's their starting lineup this year. So I'm all for it. Let's make this league 120 points per game. Make it even faster. I'm there. What would you say is the team's biggest strength?
Damian Lillard.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
I mean, that's what it is. You know, it's CJ's obviously great too, but Dame's everything to this team. As far as the locker room presence, you know, as far as when things get tough, when Dame's good, the Blazers are good. When Dame struggles, the Blazers don't win a lot of games, you know.
Yeah.
And you hate to make it that simple because obviously it's not that simple, but it kind of is, you know.
Yeah.
There's definitely some truth to that.
Yeah. Is there a weakness from last season that you think was not addressed? Or, I'm sorry, that you think was addressed?
The backup guard spots. Getting another shooter in there, getting Seth in there.
Yeah,
not Steph, obviously.
he's good though. Like I honestly like Seth Curry. I know the injury concerns are very real and the size limits, you know, what he can be. But I think whenever I watch him, I just think he gets the basketball.
Oh, absolutely. No, I think there's reason to be excited about him. But he's also your backup point guard. You know.
Yeah. That's true. No, I was going to say, is there a player on the roster you think is going to make a leap this year? Like, not just marginal improvements, but maybe a pretty significant one?
No, I honestly don't really see anybody having that big leap. It'd be nice if Harkless would make one because he has the ability to, just maybe lacks the engagement. Nurk, I think I'm happy with Nurk. I think he is what he is at this point.
Yeah.
He's a good player, probably going to get you, 15-9, something like that around.
Yeah.
Decent passer, decent defender.
Yeah.
Probably the same thing. You probably have what you have.
Yeah.
You probably have what you have.
Yeah. This team, I think if you're a hater, you say it's kind of stale and whatever. But maybe if you're looking at the positive side, that continuity is enough to at least get them in, which will be interesting. So I guess that's the big question. How many games do you think Portland gets this year? How many wins? And do you think they're a playoff team?
Knew this question was going to come. I hate to answer it, but I got to answer it honestly. I don't think they make the playoffs this year.
Oh, wow.
I thought the Blazers were underestimated last year. People had them at like 44. I thought they were going to be closer to 49-50. They ended up at 49. Just because there's a lot of momentum. You have off-season momentum.
Yeah.
Where, you add some pieces. They got Ed Davis back. They got a top 10 pick in Collins. You had a full year of Nurk. Like, there's a lot of energy coming into last season, and that matters. That matters to the players.
Yeah.
Like, the front office clearly cared about last year and wanted to win. And you look at their moves this year, and they let Ed Davis go. They didn't really replace him. They didn't spend much money. They were pretty casual with their moves there. I kind of have them at 43, probably.
So you think they're probably that 9 or 10 seed? They'll compete all year long, but they'll probably be on the outside unless injuries happen elsewhere?
Yeah, that's kind of the deal. If the Blazers make it, somebody else probably had injury concerns. I can't look at 8 other teams in the West and be like, oh, yeah, the Blazers got them. Those 8 other teams, there's at least 8 other teams that worry me.
I think it's interesting that you talk about momentum going into a season. And you probably know this really well from your professional playing days, but because you know when your team is like on the upswing and when they're plateaued and when they're on the downswing. I mean, players know what's up.
Players are smart. They have expectations. Like, they understand.
Yeah. And I'll say this. Denver, I think, has a lot of momentum. Now, I don't know if it's going to translate, but just – I mean, I'd rather them have momentum than not. And I know with how last year ended – the fact that they retained Will Barton, he is very, very well loved in the locker room. And I think, guys have been in. Jokic got into town 3 weeks ago to start working out and training, which is early for him. A lot of guys have been here. I think Denver is a team that will have that right out of the gate, that sort of enthusiasm to be back where – and again, it's not that – these guys are professionals. I mean, they're always going to show up and give their best, but you can't fake sometimes that – just that feeling you got of what are we playing for.
Oh, absolutely. Like, personal expectations and, as you said, off-season momentum, like, that stuff matters. That absolutely matters. You're not gonna try harder because of it or be less professional because of it, but it's just a little extra energy that you have.
And, yeah, that's a good way of putting
it. Believing that you're going to win and that you're going to make the playoffs and you can do something and, that you have all this potential, like, that's extra energy that, as you said, you can't fake that. And some teams are going to have that because of these off seasons and because of what they have going, and other teams aren't. And I agree with you that Denver is probably a team that has that, and Portland doesn't have that so much.
Dame's the kind of guy, though, that knows. You talked about that 14-game win streak. One of the things I've been talking about all summer for the Nuggets is last year they didn't really have – until the very end, they won 6 games in a row. But before that, I don't think they had longer than a 3-game winning streak. And winning streaks, man – 1 10-game winning streak in a season like really ups your playoff odds. Just you get hot, you take care of a month, and it's like, okay, yeah, you won a couple you weren't supposed to. Denver hasn't had that, and for Portland, maybe energy's a little low, but I'm sure Dame's the type of guy that knows how valuable a good hot month or something like that can be. So just like we were talking about the Lakers, a lot of people talking about the Lakers. Yeah, I'm not voting on the Lakers to make the playoffs. I'm voting on LeBron. I think with the Blazers, that's the best argument you have is, look, they're good enough to be good, and then they have Lillard.
Yeah. No, I agree 100%. That's the you know, as you said, the things they have going for them right now, like it's Lillard. I mean, he's the reason that I think the Blazers still have a shot.
Yeah.
You know, just a little bit of a different personality, same skill set, but just kind of a little bit of a different guy. I wouldn't have a problem counting the Blazers out, but because it's Lillard, because he's just that kind of competitor, and he's, you know, he's made the playoffs when he wasn't supposed to for the last couple of years, you know, as the leader and as that guy, and he's kind of, you know, thrown the team on his back a couple times. That 14-game win streak, I think he had four or five shots at the end of the games during that stretch that either tied it or took the lead in the last minute of the game. Like, he was scratching and clawing. He was getting that team to the playoff last year and ended up getting a third seed, you know, which is incredible. Yeah, incredible run, but, man, it's going to be even harder for him this year.
Such a fun player. I don't even hate him. I'm like, you want to hate other players, but he's just a guy I root for because he's just so good, so fun, and there's so much to like about him. All right, let's take another break. And when we come back, I'm going to get Brian's thoughts on the Denver Nuggets. He's a secret Nuggets fan. He'll never admit it, but I know he is. And when we get back, we'll talk about that, and then also Portland-Denver matchups and which team, you know, finishes with more wins. We'll be right back. All right, I'm here with Brian Freeman of Blazers Edge. Really great follow on Twitter. You can find his handle in the description of this show. Great follow, great writer, great basketball mind, and really great dude as well. Really become one of my friends over the last couple years in this blogosphere. And we're going to segue now to talk about the Denver Nuggets and get his perspective on them. And right off the bat, just where do you think Denver finishes in the race for the West? Where do you think they finish, assuming everybody's healthy? And how many wins do you think they snag?
I got them 7 or 8. Okay. I got them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I have them, as you know, I have them finishing above the Blazers.
Right, right.
For those of you that don't know, me and Adam like to put our money where our mouth is. we had that bet last year, you know.
I had to buy this dude pancakes. It was the worst.
But he did. He was a man of his word. He bought them. But this year I wasn't agreeing to that bet.
You're no fun. Now we just have the straight up bet, Denver versus Portland 4 games. We'll see who gets the most wins in
those
four.
A little nervous, but
yeah. So how many wins do you think is a 7 or 8 seed this year?
I think you're getting 46.
Oh, 46. Man, the exact same as last year.
Mm-hmm. See, you got 46. We'll go 47 then. You guys deserve another win.
I do think 47 wins next year is like 50 last year. I think there's some just it's more balanced at the top 10,
right.
so everybody kind of takes a couple more losses. But
yeah, it's hard to give anybody in the West, other than of course the Warriors, you know, extreme high win numbers. Because man, through about the 11 seed, it's gonna be a bloodbath.
Yeah, it's gonna be. Man, just looking at it was funny when the schedule came out. I was looking for the streak, you know, just where can Denver get on a run and get rolling? And there really was not a stretch at any point in the season where they went 4 games where I would consider them favored. And it was because the league is just so good that, you know, you get, even if you get Phoenix, Dallas, Orlando in a row, that fourth game was always like New Orleans at home or on the road, and it's like, man, that's a 50-50 game.
But even a team like Dallas is going to be interesting. Obviously, right. Playoffs. A team like Phoenix, they're going to be young and, you know, probably scatterbrained, but still a lot of talent there.
Not a lot of nights off in the West. Out East, there's a lot of nights off, but in the West, at least in the first couple months, even Sacramento is a super team. So, you know, there's tough there's tough games every night. What's your biggest concern for the Nuggets?
I would have to say health.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, Millsap missed a lot of time last year. You got Isaiah Thomas that, you know, as you just said, may not be ready for opening. Gary Harris missed a lot of games last year.
Yeah.
They're healthy. I think they're making the playoffs. I feel really good about that. But, man, they just got to stay healthy.
Yeah. If Denver and Portland both got into a playoff series, if they both got in somehow, how do you think that series would go?
I got Portland. If they both make it.
For the Dame factor?
Yeah, Dame factor. I mean, when you have the best player in the series, you're probably winning.
And Denver doesn't have a Jrue Holiday, like a guy that you could say, you know what, this guy's going to go toe-to-toe. They just don't have that guy. Offensively, maybe, you know, Gary Harris or Murray or whatever, but end of game, I just don't feel comfortable with anybody to make things difficult on Dame.
No, absolutely, yeah. You know, Harris and Murray are awesome, but you know, Harris is a good defensive player. You're not going to be able to lock down Dame, CJ.
You have that losing to Portland in a playoff. Oh, man, that would be tough. I think Nuggets fans, if there's one, there's two ways I think this season could really be a success and still feel like a failure. And one of them is having home court against the Lakers and still losing. I think that would hurt, I think, a little bit. And then the Portland one, just Nurkic sending them home anytime that happens would be is very, very tough.
Yeah, you know, if Denver and Portland meet in the playoffs, Nurkic is going to go bananas, right?
It would be interesting, though. I mean, honestly, I'd be very, very curious to see how those goes because he's had some really, really good games against Denver. But, you know, if he had a good game, I think Denver would adjust their game plan to try to, like, I just don't think they would let him beat him.
If he hated every other NBA team like he hates the Nuggets, he'd be – he's first. He's
Hall of Famer.
He's elite. Yeah. Oh my God. He just really can't stand you guys, and he lets you know it every time. But everybody else can be up and down.
The feeling's mostly mutual, I think, for Nuggets fans.
You don't like Nurkic? You never told me that.
Hey, I personally. No, I'm just kidding. How would you rank the players on the Nuggets roster in terms of, like, just go down the list? Maybe we'll say 1 through 6 or 7, and from order of best to least best.
Oh man, Jokic has got to be number one. I think that's pretty easy.
Yeah, that one's easy.
I like Gary Harris a lot. I don't think he's number two, but man, he's probably pretty close. You have Millsap, Harris, and Murray who are all kind of right there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go Millsap, Harris, Murray.
I think that's probably right.
Yeah.
Although it is close. It is
Millsap. What's that?
I said it is close. Gary Harris is sort of a – I mean, they're both just so reliable, you know.
Just tough dudes. Obviously, injuries got to them last year. Yeah. But I really like the way Gary Harris plays. I mean, as far as shooting guards go, I mean, he's your – if you're going to drop a shooting guard, he's the kind of guy you want.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Obviously, I really like Will Barton. I've made that – let that known, even though you got him – from Portland. We'd still love to have him.
Yeah.
He has Aaron Afala back. I'm really curious to see what Isaiah Thomas is going to do this year. What are your expectations for him? Just curious.
I was worried about the injury stuff and, you know, this coming out. I don't know that it's a huge deal, but him missing camp, I think, could cause a little bit of complications out the gate. But I like it. I tell people this when it happened and people were down on it. I thought, is he better than Moutier? Because that was the backup point guard last year, and He literally couldn't play 10 minutes without giving up a 10-point swing. So can he be better than that? I think so. Personality-wise, I've heard that he's already been really, really good. Just people on the outside don't know this, but Denver's locker room is really, really quiet. I mean, Paul Millsap and Gary Harris, they're just quiet guys. They don't talk. Jokic, you know, foreign, Wancho, you know, there's some guys. So there's not a lot of vocal guys. And from what I hear is Isaiah Thomas has been very, very good and challenging guys and just picking up the energy because he's the kind of guy that just doesn't stop talking.
Yeah, that's interesting. And that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So yeah. I think he's probably the sixth best. I mean, you never know. I mean, maybe he can't run up and down the court, but if he's just even half of what he used to be, I think he's definitely the sixth best.
Yeah, I think he was a really good pickup for you guys. Yeah, and then you got Plum Dog. I've always liked him. Ex-Blazer, of course.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what Trey Lyles does because he had some really bright moments for you last year. He's not quite as good as Donovan Mitchell. But,
you jerk.
I didn't just bring him up just so I could throw that in the face. But every once in a while I watch him. He does some really interesting things. He has a pretty good basketball mind. And he's a decent athlete. I'm curious to see what more he can bring.
He's a bit of an X factor for me. This year, not the X factor. I think Will Barton is probably the X factor. He kind of swings a lot of things, but I think Trey Lyles is a guy that, like you said, he was really, really good for a month and a half last year when he was getting 25, 30 minutes a night. When he was getting 14 minutes a night, he wasn't so good. So maybe he breaks in the rotation. I hear he's a guy that's sort of, you hear this all the time this time of year, but he's in the best shape of his life. You know, this was a real big summer for him. He's about to get paid next year. So yeah, he's definitely a guy I could see making a leap for Denver.
I kind of have Jamal Murray as your guys' X factor.
Yeah, he's another candidate. Murray or Barton. I actually asked people that. I don't know why I don't have it on a question for you, but everybody said Murray or Barton, one of those two.
Yeah, Murray's another guy. You watch him. drop 35 and just look great and comfortable with the ball. And other times you watch him, he looks like a rookie sometimes. He makes a lot of rookie young man mistakes.
Yeah. Well, he's 21, I think, so it makes sense.
He's been in the league for 3 years now?
This will be his third year.
All right, 2 years. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. If he makes a leap, Denver, I think, is a lock for the playoffs. And, you know, at this age, I think point guards make the leap in years three, four, or five. And so, you know, who knows? Maybe this is the year.
And he has a good backup, a good veteran backup point guard with him, too, that he hasn't had before.
I actually think that's going to be huge. They hired Mark Price as an assistant coach this year, who I think will be another, you know, good voice for him. So, unlike last year where Moutier was sort of the vet for him, I think he actually has guys that can kind of watch film and point some things out for him now.
I think a lot of people sleep on how important it is to have good assistant coaches.
Oh yeah,
which makes such a big difference. You know, when you're playing, and you know this, you were a player. You know, you get so much advice, kind of small things from assistant coaches that make such a big difference. You know, swapping it, getting a good mentor in there, an assistant coach, can absolutely make a big difference.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. Well, Brian, thanks so much, man, for coming on the show. This was a good conversation. It's funny that do the Blazer fans, do they consider the Nuggets a rival or not really?
No.
So Denver considers Portland a rival. That's so
no plans for your arrival.
You know, just the Nurkic thing. I think it's always going to be a rivalry for Denver until Nurkic is gone out of Portland. And the funny thing is, if Nurkic got traded to Dallas, I don't know that Dallas would be a rival. It's just sort of the way things went down that Nuggets fans take extra pride. I would say they take a little bit of extra pride in beating Portland and a lot of extra fear in losing to Portland.
Yeah, no, I get that. I mean, I would say I have that same thing. And I'm the Rockies are my favorite baseball team. I've always been a Peyton fan. My family lives in Denver. So I've always had kind of a thing for Denver anyway. But the Nuggets are kind of a little different. There's a little bit more of I still wouldn't call it a rivalry just because the Nuggets haven't made the playoffs and been that good for a while. But there is a little bit of something when Portland plays Denver with some other team. So I'll give you that.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome stuff. You guys can follow him again. His handle is in the in the description of the show, so definitely give him a follow. Really good dude. And Brian, great talking to you. Everybody else, I'll be back again next week for a very special media day edition of the Locked On Nuggets podcast. We'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us on the web at denverstiffs.com.